That night, after a short visit with Felicia to apologize for missing dinner, Kevin sat on the floor of his bedroom, dealing to himself from a pile of cards 6 decks deep. At first, he was simply practicing basic strategy. Mickey Rosa had given him a booklet full of BS charts, which he had memorized while eating pasta in front of the television. Kevin hadn't found the charts intimidating. He had spent most of his life submerged in complex math formulas. His father had quizzed him, even as a kid, on the basics of physics and chemistry. Unlike much of higher physics, basic strategy coincided with common sense. Contrary to what many novices believed, the goal of blackjack was not to get the best hand possible. It was to beat the dealer's hand. The key to basic strategy was to understand that the dealer's advantage was based entirely on the fact that he drew after the player. Everything else in the game favored the player. The dealer was constrained by the house rules, which meant he was usually forced to hit until he either reached 17 or busted. Therefore, the player's strategy was to try to calculate what the dealer's most likely hand was going to be, and then draw until his own hand was higher. If the dealer was most likely to bust, and the dealer normally busted 28% of the time, the player simply needed to stand on any two cards over 11. The player's calculations were based on the information he had available, what the dealer had showing. If the dealer had a strong card showing, like a 10 or an ace, then the odds were high the dealer had a good hand and wouldn't need to take a third card. That meant the player had to keep hitting until he had a strong hand for himself. If the dealer had a weak card showing, like a 6, he would most likely take a third card from the deck. Therefore, his odds of busting were high, and it made sense for the player to stand. Proper strategy became a bit trickier when it came to splitting pairs and doubling down, the two moves that gave the player a chance to increase his odds against the house by raising his bet. With splitting pairs, the player could create two hands against the dealer's cards. This allowed the player to double his bet, but he was also doubling his risk. So the only proper time to split pairs was when the dealer's hand would be weaker than each of the player's two new hands. A standard set of rules for splitting had been devised by previous blackjack experts using computers running millions of virtual hands. Kevin found it easier simply to memorize the tables than try and work them out. The same went for the rules of doubling down and the proper play for soft hands, hands with an ace, which could be used either as a 1 or an 11. Altogether, it had taken him under an hour to get a good feel for basic strategy. After dealing blackjack hands to himself for a few more hours, he switched over to learning the basic running count. The high-low count was perhaps the simplest counting method one could learn. Low cards, 2 through 6, were assigned a point value of positive 1. High cards, 10 through ace, were assigned a point value of negative 1. When Kevin went through a deck, adding low cards and subtracting high cards, he came out to 0. It felt foolishly simple, going through the 6 decks again and again, flipping one card at a time. But it became progressively more difficult the more cards Kevin flipped at once. In a casino environment, he'd have to be able to count the whole table in a matter of seconds. So he took advice Mickey had given him on his way out of the classroom. Match 'em up. High cards and low cards cancel each other out. By seeing the cards in pairs or even foursomes of matching high and low cards, he could speed up his counting time geometrically. Pretty soon, he could get through the 6 decks in a few minutes. When he finally went to sleep, cards spun through his dreams. He was hooked. It wasn't just the potential for money. There were a lot of ways a kid on the honors track at MIT could make money. It was the pure mathematical beauty of counting that turned him on.